Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain to the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains.
He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry.
He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the way of the man.
The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
He made peace your borders and filled you with shining beauty.
He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold?
He sends out his word and no one. He causes his wind to blow and waters to flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not dealt with us with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them.
Praise the Lord. Okay, here in Psalm 147, we are continuing in this small section of Psalms that begin and end with praise the Lord. Starting in 146 and running through 150, this part. It's a section, of course, that after all that we've looked through the book of Psalms, that emphasizes, that dwells on, that calls us to the praise, the honor, the glory of the God of creation. As you've seen last week and this week, there's a lot more of creation in these Psalms than a lot of the other ones that we've seen before. And we'll see that starting in the general and moving more to the specific as we go through this section. And it does that throughout this Psalm today as well. It starts, of course, with the phrase I mentioned last week, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And again, we remember when we use this phrase, Hallelujah, we are using the name of God. So let's be careful not to use this word in vain, for that is commanded specifically against. Praise the Lord. And again, you see in the small capitals, the word Lord there, that's the covenant name of God. That is Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on your preference. It is not the word Adonai, which means master. Here in this case, it means the covenant name of God. So bring praise to him, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Notice it doesn't start with just the God of heaven and earth, but our God. He's a personal God to his people, not just the Creator, but the one who builds us up, the one who holds us. In verse 2, the psalmist looks to Jerusalem. Now, the kids particularly, you all know this psalm. This is one that you sing with your hand motions. It's one of the more fun psalms for people to sing. But it's also a psalm that brings praise to God, so we need to be serious about it. He builds up his city. The Lord in this covenant, before Jesus came as the God-man, dealt with the nation of Israel as the covenant community. The covenant community was built up by God. It wasn't a natural building up or just the way things work or anything of the sort. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Not only does he gather them together, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Our God is a God who not only has made us, but calls us to himself in the covenant. He builds up the house of the covenant with his people. He heals them, he cares for them, he takes care of them. Now we see in verse 4, he counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Now, have any of you spent any time on the internet or anywhere else looking at the pictures they're taking out of the Hubble telescope? There's a lot of stars up there. And that gets my nomination for the understatement of the week. There's a lot of stars out there. And the Lord not only has made them, but He numbers them. He knows how many there are. There's a lot of people who'd pay a lot of money for that answer. But He knows and calls all of them by name, too. Great is our Lord. And here we have Adonai, not Yahweh. Great is our Master, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. He lifts up the humble and casts the wicked down to the ground. I want us to think just a moment on the juxtaposition of these two verses, 5 and 6. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. We have this mighty God that exists throughout the entire universe, knows how many stars there are, their names, their position, everything about them and all. He's a huge God, a mighty God, and one who lifts up the humble and casts the wicked down to the ground. Now, when people think of a God as mighty as our God is, they tend to think He's above the common dealings of man. They tend to think He's too big to worry about your little problems. He's not. His word here tells us He is mighty, but He lifts up the humble. He is so big, in fact, that He's got plenty of attention to spare for you. And a lot of people don't grasp that. They think He's on a plane so far above us that He can't care for us individually. The second half of verse 6 is a threat and a warning to those who are not in His covenant community. This mighty and great God is not so big that He doesn't notice your sin. And then you have the God that is this strong, this powerful, who has sworn to cast the wicked down to the ground. He won't overlook you. He won't forget you. He will get you. But we are the covenant people of God, right? Hopefully everyone here is. I don't see any adult that I have reason to doubt. And what is our calling then? The Lord lifts up the humble. So moving on to verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Who covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass to grow on the mountains? He loves His people and provides for them. He gives to the beast His food and to the young ravens that cry. If He cares enough for the young ravens, how much more does He care for His people? Moving on, verse 10 and 11. He does not delight in the strength of the horse, takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. He doesn't see things that people do. He doesn't joy in the things that man joys in. But He takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His mercy. Again, the refrain, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion. For He has strengthened the bars of your gates and blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. The Lord provides for His people. Here we see an inheritance within the covenant community. He has strengthened the gates that the people would be protected. And He has blessed your children within you that there will be more generations of believers. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. Peace and prosperity to the church. We see in verses 15 through 18, I won't read them through, but He takes care of the weather, the earth, all things that happen are under His providence. The cold, the rain, the snow, and the frost. All of these things are by His declaration and His command. What He commands to happen, happens. There's no question about it. And everything is by His command. Using that as a setup then, in verse 19, the psalmist says, He declares His word to Jacob. All the things He declares to happen on the earth happens. And He declared His word to Jacob, the covenant given to His people. This will happen just as surely as the rain falls, just as surely as the snow flies. His covenant will be upheld. His statutes and judgment to Israel, He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. The people of God in the Old Testament, the Israel, before Jesus came as the God-man, was set aside as a remnant on the earth. Now remember, we need to remember the flow of covenant history. There were a couple times before the establishment of the nation of Israel that the population of the earth was the covenant community. at the time of Adam and at the time of Noah. But people, with their wicked hearts, their fallen condition, had left the Lord. The covenant community in general had wandered in the ways of wickedness. But in both of those situations, God preserved to himself a remnant. That's what the nation of Israel was. The common conception of those who do not take the Old Testament and New Testament together is that there was a new thing on the earth when he created Israel. It wasn't. It was a continuation of the covenant community that started in Genesis chapter 3. It was the remnant during this particular time of apostasy. The statement here is not that these other people were created strangers to God and remained that way. It's that the rest of the world had wandered from God, and in His grace, undeserved by any, Israel was rescued from their rebellion. Israel was rescued from their ignorance and given the blessing, the commands of God. We are that remnant. But we're no longer a dwindling remnant as it was in the Old Testament. Now we're a remnant that has burst forth to retake the earth for our God. And so it is our duty to make sure that the nations and the people do know God's judgments, do know His commandments, more importantly, or most importantly, do know His gospel and His covenant love for His people. And the psalm ends again, hallelujah, praise the Lord, or as the metrical version has it, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. And we'll sing that version now, and we'll sing 147a.